It's Marketplace Tech for October 15th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Judging from all the internet videos made by GoPro-loving surfers, skaters, rock climbers, etc., there are probably lots of people with the adventure cameras ready to accept payment. And the company now says it's setting aside $5 million to pay creators for their footage, Marketplace's Nova Safo reports.
How else but GoPro can you get helmet view footage of someone parachuting off a desert cliff?
Yeah! That was so scary!
Actually, other cameras might be able to capture this footage, but when we see these kinds of videos, Andrew Erkowitz of Oppenheimer says we automatically think GoPro.
GoPro has become synonymous with action cameras, similar to rollerblades, similar to Kleenex, and so forth.
Erkowitz says that's all thanks to the videos people upload and share on social media. He says that trend is slowing and offering to pay for videos might spur more of them. The company is also trying to build a YouTube-like business. It has a digital channel to distribute videos on platforms like Roku and Xbox. And Michael Pachter of Wedbush Security says GoPro needs its users to help fill that channel up.
They'll probably seed the channel with a lot of really interesting content. Ultimately, I think they hope to advertise.
The company is happy with just the buzz it gets from the videos. Every time one of them goes viral, GoPro gets a sales spike. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Patent lawsuits sure do take a long time to play out. This week, we got news that one is getting close, and Apple might have to fork over hundreds of millions of dollars to the University of Wisconsin. The suit was filed last year, but it hinges on whether Apple used technology the university built back in 1998 for improving processors. Dennis Crouch is at the University of Missouri Law School, and he says it's not unprecedented for universities and tech companies to fight over patents.
Carnegie Mellon won a big case a couple of years ago, and there continue to be universities asserting patents. And many universities, including Wharf before this, that is University of Wisconsin Research Foundation, have asserted their patent rights and have been making millions of dollars per year over the past couple of decades.
What does this mean for the regular user?
You know, that's a good question. I really think there's no chance a court would order an injunction to stop the iPhone sales. I really think Apple is setting its price as high as it can right now. And so there's little chance they're going to raise the price. And so really this is just what you might call a transfer of wealth from one very wealthy company to a state university.
Which also could be relatively wealthy.
That's right.
Dennis Crouch at the University of Missouri Law School. He writes the Patently O blog. Dennis, thank you very much.
Thank you, too.
New York Times tech columnist Farhad Manju just wrote about the luxury bus startup Leap Transit, which got some big investment early on but then flamed out. Perhaps another example of challenges in Silicon Valley. Farhad, nice to have you back.
Hey, good to be here.
So they love to say fail fast in Silicon Valley, but sometimes those stories of failure are a little bit light on the details.
Yeah, I mean, usually they're light on the details. So people kind of forget about failure very quickly. And I think what's interesting about the companies that fail is they provide lots of lessons about what's going on in the tech market at the moment. And a lot of times those lessons go kind of unheeded.
All right, so let's talk about Leap Transit. This was essentially a busing company.
Yeah, I mean, the bus basically looked like kind of a, you know, a hipster coffee shop. Like, it had like unfinished wood lining, leather seats, Wi-Fi, and you could order organic snooty snacks from an app for like $7 per like bottle of pressed juice or something like that.
Where did the problem start for Leap Transit?
It started right at the very start. So the idea, I think, is sound, right? The public buses in San Francisco are underfunded. They're always overcrowded. They're late. What this company did was pretty bold in terms of their approach to regulations and then their kind of branding in general. Like, so what they did at first, they launched in 2013, and they did it kind of without any license, without any approval from authorities. And one of the things they were doing was stopping their buses at city bus stops, which got people very angry. Basically, they were kind of pilloried from the very start because they didn't seem to embrace the idea of like being a bus for everyone. It was just very focused on like the sector of the city that, you know, had already, you know, was already at the center of controversy in the city.
What does it tell us about the larger things that are happening in Silicon Valley right now and maybe about other companies? I don't know, like Uber.
I think it suggests at the very least that the Uber model is an exception, perhaps, rather than like the way a startup can become successful, or sort of the main way that a startup can become successful. Like Uber's whole attitude toward regulation is, we will sort of do something and then expect to be forgiven for it later when we're caught on it. This company tried to do something similar and failed. And I think it suggests that Uber might be the exception here and not sort of the way that startups should be done.
Farhad Manju of the New York Times. Farhad, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks a lot.
And yet another Jack Dorsey headline. Has the Twitter CEO been cloned? No, his other company, payment startup Square, just finally announced its plans to do an initial public offering, a $6 billion valuation, a New York Stock Exchange ticker symbol of SQ. Paperwork was actually filed over the summer, but the details were confidential. Recent legislation lets companies with under $1 billion in annual revenue do it that way. Twitter did the same when it filed for an IPO in 2013. Square people are probably hoping the revenue comparison stops there. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.